It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, oh Lord, hey Lord, hallelujah. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me since I laid my burden down. Oh Lord, I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. Oh my Lord. Glory,
woo.
Thank you, Lord. Burdens down. Hey, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And someone will get the revelation of it, and this is all they say. Listen. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down. Since I'm glad I got this load off me. Yeah, burdens down. Oh, Lord. Down. Hallelujah. Precious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to come to you in prayer, to say to you thank you for all of your multitudinous blessings, for meeting our needs, for looking beyond our faults, for showing us your unmerited favor. And for that we say thank you. Now, Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, meet us in the scripture, minister to us, and then, Lord, show us and share with us that you'd have us to know, that when we're through with this word today, that the word may not be through with us. And we ask that you would bless us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're looking at our theme scripture, Luke 11 and 1 again. And I just want to pull out a few principles, if you will. Luke 11 and 1. So important in this time of prayer to understand a few things that I hope will be helpful in your prayer life. And it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. One of the wonderful things about this word today is the observance of the men around Jesus, of how they took notice how prayer was important to Jesus. The first thing I want you to note in this verse is that the disciples observed the person of prayer. Person of prayer. Jesus, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was what?
Praying
in a certain place, when he ceased. Now, that means that when the disciples observed Jesus in this spirit of prayer, in this life of prayer, in this mode of prayer, they had sense enough not to disturb him. Jesus made it his business when he talked to the Father to get away from them. And Jesus teaches this principle. There ought to be some space, some place between you and everybody else when you pray. And it depends on whether you're talking about public prayer or private prayer. But in this case, Jesus was dealing in a personal sense. So he removed himself from the disciples. And so as he was praying in a certain place, which means removed from them, they could not help but notice Jesus does this all the time. Now, one of the things that I want to throw out parenthetically to you is, if you're going to learn how to pray, take your cue from somebody who prays all the time. Have I got a witness in the house? You ought to be careful asking everybody to pray for you. How observant of you are you of their prayer life? How much do they pray? How much do you see them in a spirit of prayer, in a mode of prayer, in a life of prayer? How many times do you note them to be a person of prayer? And so these disciples were observing the fact that Jesus is a person of prayer. There must be something about prayer that Jesus engages in this thing called prayer so much. But there's something else that they notice about Jesus, that he didn't just pray haphazardly. He didn't just pray anywhere, anyhow, for anything. It was a method, obviously, to this praying. There were obviously some other things that went along with praying, because if there weren't, then they would have had no need to ask him to teach him. You don't need folk to teach you how to do nothing. Nothing comes naturally. You have to exert yourself to do something. And so they obviously were moved by the person of prayer. And I think, my brothers and sisters, we too ought to recognize how important it is to surround ourselves, to be around people of prayer. People of prayer. People of prayer
organize their thoughts and their lives in such a way that it pleases God. People of prayer have more communication with heaven than those who do not. People of prayer have to walk in a certain kind of way, live in a certain kind of way, talk to God in a certain kind of way that other folk that don't live prayer don't. And so they noted first the person of prayer. But then obviously they knew that there must be some principles of prayer that caused them, because they noticed Jesus prayed often. They noticed Jesus separated himself from them in his prayer time. They noticed that there were times of lengthy periods when Jesus was away from them, but they could see him praying. They knew several things about just observing him in prayer, that they must be principles, laws of practice that he utilized in praying. Let me just say something to you, my brothers and sisters, about prayer. Prayer is your personal communication between you and God on a level that gives you ultimate openness to tell God all about your situations, your troubles, your trials, your needs, your petitions, your condition. In other words, prayer is the avenue, it is the venue, it is the way by which you articulate your greatest concerns down to your least of concerns to God from within to a holy God who already knew what you had to say before you said it. But in your desire to include him in that reality, that's where the connection becomes real to you, that God hears and he knows and he answers prayer. So there are some things that I want you to realize. Jesus was big on prayer. Just in the New Testament, there are many assertions and many references to praying, to prayer, to one prayed, etc. But there are only 45 recorded prayers in the New Testament where the actual words are mentioned in Scripture. 17 of those prayers are found in Matthew. Two of the prayers are found in Mark. Seven of those prayers are found in Luke. Five of those prayers are found in John. Six of those prayers are found in Acts, and eight of those prayers are found in Revelation. If my math is correct, that's 45 prayers. In Mark chapter 7, verse 34, there are 16 words in that verse, but only two of them are prayer. Words of prayer. 14 are narrative words. But being one of the shortest prayers in the New Testament, you will also look at John chapter 17, verse 1 through 26. And it's the longest prayer in the New Testament, and Jesus prays it. It's 638 words, and Jesus is praying for his disciples. But when his disciples asked him to pray, he took them to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, and only gave them a 66-word prayer. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Because he knew that within the confinement of that prayer, they would learn some principles. We went over them at 8:30 on last Sunday. It started off with covenant relationship, our Father. And what's clear about that is he's making clear that you have to be in relationship with God. He teaches this prayer out of his relationship as the Son of Man. It's clear that it was not prayed as the Son of God, which is deity, or otherwise he would have said, like he says in Matthew's other recorded gospel, 26 and 39, O my Father. That's when he was praying as the Son of God. But then out of that covenant relationship, he dealt with habitation of God. For he says, which art in heaven. Then he said, hallowed be thy name. That's sanctification. Thy kingdom come. That's anticipation. Thy will be done. That's revelation. As it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, that's expectation. Then he moves on to covenant resources, because he says, give us this day our daily bread, and everything we have need in both the secular and the sacred realm is provided in this thing called bread. So when you are in covenant relationship, you have a right to tell God all about your needs. And God, well, David put it this way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So know that as a covenant member, you have relationship with God, which means you also have access to covenant resources. Then he goes on to covenant reconciliation. Look at what he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So that's covenant reconciliation. He wants us as brothers and sisters to get along, to learn how to live with one another, forgive one another, love one another. And so he makes clear that that is a part of what you ought to pray for. But then he goes on to covenant righteousness, because he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen, one of the things that is clear to the believer according to scripture is that God doesn't tempt us with evil. But because we're still made of in the earth realm, we're still in the presence of sin and the power of sin, though it has no power over us, we're in the presence of that sin, and every now and then it appeals to us. And because we're still human, we are not altogether spiritual. There are just still some things this flesh remembers, this flesh desires. And you can't sit here acting holier than thou and tell me there ain't nothing in this world your flesh wants. Because I got news for you, for the day is over. The flesh will have you itching where you can't scratch. Lord have mercy. But he says, when I fall into temptation, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. And then he talks about covenant rule. For he says, for thine is the kingdom. God is the ruler of his kingdom. He's the king. We're his domicile. We are his subjects. We're in his domicile, rather. And so he rules it. And then it talks about covenant reign and the power. God has all power in his hand. He reigns over everything. Then it talks about covenant right, because it says, and the glory forever. God is the only one who has the right to glory forever. Glory belongs to our God, not to us. It's his glory. And when we recognize that, we won't get hung up in prideful things, trying to take what belongs to God forever. And then we have the covenant response. Amen. Now, Jesus teaches all of this in 66 words. Why? Because these are principles for us to understand. And so when we pray, if we pray in this manner, for he says, listen, after this manner, therefore pray ye. In other words, use this model. This is the model prayer. He didn't say word for word, but he says, use this as a model. Use this as a fashion of prayer. Use this as something that you can gauge whether or not you're praying the way God wants you to pray. And one of the things you will note is when you start off prayer, it ought to start off giving God glory. And then I think I need to throw out parenthetically, when you end your prayer, it ought to end up with giving God glory. And somewhere in between starting the glory and ending the glory, you ought to say, Lord, now I need something for myself, and I need you to deal with my sin, and then, Lord, help my soul. Lord, are y'all hearing me here today? And so that's why they wanted the Lord to teach them to pray. Because prayer means nothing if you're not communicating and articulating the way God would have you to do. He also told them how not to pray in the 5th through the 8th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew. He made clear, don't be like the heathen and the hypocrites. And he walked through those things and told them. So when they said, teach us to pray, it had to do with principles, not feelings, not emotions, not loudness. See, it's amazing. Some people think that God is deaf. Now, Lord, if you hear me praying, now that's fine and good just because you like to do it like that. Because he didn't say you can't pray loud. But the problem is some folk think that's the only way God can hear you. What happens if you just need to whisper a prayer? Because you don't want everybody else to hear. Well, I mean, I can't pray now because they got people around me. Oh, you can't whisper? He ain't deaf. Then you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, you don't have to talk to God for hours. Again, Luke 7:34, Jesus prayed for a deaf man's hearing to be restored. And the two-word prayer was, be opened. He didn't spend all day and night whining and crying and, oh, my father, I know you made hearing, and hearing is for the ears, and all that, and, oh, Father God, and be opened. I'm trying to help somebody. No wonder the old folks say Jesus is on the main line. Tell him. Stop wasting all that. You remember, look, back in the day, old folk didn't like talking on the phone much, and they sure didn't like long distance. Yeah, they ain't like long distance. So if they talk to you long distance, they almost talk in shorthand with words. Quick. Get it over with. And listen, they'd be so busy in a hurry, finishing what they say. When they say what they got to say, they just hang up. Hello? I wish I had a helper in the house. Yeah. So he dealt with principles. And then the last thing I want you to know is they wanted to know about the power of prayer. as John taught his disciples also. What did they note about that? That every time Jesus would pray, he came back with more power. He came back refreshed. He came back renewed. That was a power on Jesus that they noted after prayer. But then they noted that the same power was on other folk who prayed well. So it wasn't just for Jesus, because obviously when John taught his disciples to pray, that same power came on them. And they were able to do great exploits. And so, my brother and my sister, one of the things that you got to understand is, if you know the person of prayer, Jesus, him, he is the ultimate person of prayer. And if you know the principles of prayer, meaning to pray according to the word of God, as God has structured and outlaid his word so that according to his word, he will answer prayer, then you have an expectation of the power of prayer being real in your life. Being that comes to fruition, manifestation. In other words, you not only say the prayer, but you see the prayer manifested. And that's when prayer, listen, in its fullest form, most complete state, is real to the prayer. See, something is wrong if you're praying and you never get an answer. Can I get a witness here? What keeps you praying and encourages you to continue prayer or to believe that prayer even works if in all your praying you never get an answer? Or the answer you get is always no. Or not now. Or later. Something's wrong with that. That means obviously you've got to go back and read, study, understand the principles of prayer, because you're violating the principles of prayer whereby you can receive the power of prayer. And that's the reason we're spending time in this ministry, to teach every member how to pray and go to God for themselves in prayer. Understanding that if Jesus did it and taught us the principles and shares with us the power of prayer, that when he tore down that middle wall of partition, that you no longer needed a priest to go in between you and God, but that you could go by yourself before the presence of a loving and a holy and a wise God and make your petitions known. Listen at this. And have every expectation